Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom, knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I said, do you believe that?
Yes.
Can you turn to somebody beside you and tell the person, I believe it?
I believe it.
Tell somebody else, I believe it.
I believe it.
That the word is entering my heart today.
The word is entering my heart.
It is giving me light and direction.
It is giving me light and direction.
It is healing me in every area. Say, it is healing me in every area.
In my spirit,
in my soul,
in my body,
is healing me totally.
From
the top of my head
to
the soles of my feet.
Total healing.
That is my portion today. By the entrance of the word. In the name of Jesus. Now greet somebody, tell the fellow, congratulations, you are very wise. You have, congratulations, you are very saved. Yes. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen again.
Amen.
All right, please open your Bibles. We want to continue teaching on the pursuit of God. And I have a message today from the book of Genesis chapter 5. Last time, I wanted to start talking about the fact that faith is a fight and the reason why we need to fight with faith. I may get there today, but I feel like the Lord wants me to start from here, the book of Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just to save time, and because what we want from there is just in a small area. We'll start reading from verse 18. It said, when Jared was 160, I'm using the New Living Translation, all right? When Jared was 162 years old, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Total, Jared lived 962, and then he died. Now, verse 21. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. One day the Bible says he disappeared because God loved his company so much. Said this man will do better in heaven than on the earth. Now, you don't have to be a hermit or to be a what we call a holy man. You know the way we talk about holy people who seclude themselves. You don't have to be celibate to walk with God, because we see that Enoch had sons and daughters. He had a wife. I hope you're getting my point here. He had a family. Yet he walked so closely with God, and the Lord enjoyed his company so much, the Bible says that one day he disappeared. Why? God preferred his company. God took him. Now we're talking about the pursuit of God. And what I'm trying to do, all right, by the Spirit of God, is to set a different set of goals. Or let me put it like this, a different spirit before us, a different goal before our lives, something that we'll be pursuing that's different from what the average person is pursuing, that will set us apart as true believers in Christ, so that the mundane things of this world, they don't hold us down. Let me say it again, what I said a few days ago, one of these meetings, I explained the fact that this earth is temporal. Temporal means that it is short-lived. I'll use that in that context. Even though you live to be 120 years, the first few years in quote of eternity, you realize that 120 years was short. Are you getting my point here? Yes, 120 years was a very, very brief period of time. Yet you are going to live forever. Your spirit, the real you, the soul inside you, your real person outside this body will live forever. And what you accomplish on this earth, spiritually speaking now, of course, everything you accomplish, the Bible says, will be burned with fire. Some things will go through the fire and they will endure. And those are the things that will reflect in your life after now. And I think it is foolishness to focus so much on things that will pass away with the, if God blows upon it, alright? Say, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is like the flowers of the field. Are you getting my point? The grass withers and the flower fades. What happens? When the breath of God blows upon it. When God blows upon things, he doesn't say because this belongs to Christians, they will not be destroyed. They will also be destroyed if they are made of grass. That's just the way it works. It's foolishness, therefore, to spend so much energy planning for this life and not look for something that is hereafter. Like we say, those are just to illustrate. You see people planning for marriage. They know nothing about marriage, but you see what they do spend energy, the amount of energy and effort they spend concerning the wedding. The process, the whole ceremony of weddings usually is 2 days. One traditional, okay, let's say 3 days. One traditional marriage, one the church marriage, strokes court wedding, and then Thanksgiving. It's over now. But you see effort, energy going to that. Most people don't spend that kind of effort or energy preparing for marriage. Wedding, 3 days. Even if it's a Jacob that's wedding, it's 7 days maximum. It's over. Then marriage starts. Can be the next 10 years, 20, 30. And the other day I was looking at, watching the story of George Bush on TV, and they said he had been married for 72 years, he and his wife. They've been married for so long and lived together that one fell sick, the other one fell sick too. Carried the same, two of them to the same hospital, I think the same intensive care unit. You understand my point? 72 years. That is, it makes more sense to prepare for that than to be preparing for 3 days. In the same manner, that's how it is with our lives. Yes, people labor for what, okay, my son has to go to school, get a degree, and be able to get a job. I have to be able to improve myself so I can get a job. And when I get a job, I want to build a house. I want to build a second one. And I spend all of this energy. At the end of the day, you know, today I was reading the biography of John Alexander Dowie again, who built Zion City, United States, okay? And Gordon Lindsay, who wrote the books, he was just describing things. So at the end of everything, all they left for him was just this small square, you know, in one small area, his grave. That was all that was left for him. And I said, look, this is life. Beyond the earth, much more than that is left for you. Are you getting my point here? And what will be to be like then is determined by how you live today. That's what I'm emphasizing. I've had discussions with people, please listen to this. They not tell you that Nigeria is by wanting to go somewhere where life is more comfortable. And I said, God must be very foolish when he put all of us in the country. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. There is something, all right? Please read my book if you haven't read it, titled Don't Quit the Army. There is a reason why God placed you on the earth. Don't ever forget that. And in the midst of everything, he says, seek after me. Are you getting my point here? That there's a way, listen, everything you do in life makes a statement. You know, I read the scripture today, quickly open to it, Psalm 11. Very powerful. I read it during the night. I just woke up during the night, read the Bible, I just took my Bible, and I opened it, and it fell to, well, I was looking for something else. Then it fell to Psalm 11. Who has a New Living Translation, a simple version? Go ahead, read it, let me hear you.
In the Lord I take refuge.
In the Lord I take refuge.
How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain?
Are you getting my point here? He said, in the Lord I take refuge. Why should you tell me to run to America because I want to prosper? I don't know whether you're getting my point here. In the Lord I take refuge. Why are you telling me that because that was what I saw in it too. David said, in the Lord I take refuge. Why do you say to me, go and hide? That where I am right now, I'm hidden. I hope you're getting my point here. You know, if you read further down, like he was reading just now, you find out that he was saying that, okay, the wicked have, they've planned this, they've planned that. You say, what? In the Lord I take refuge. I won't be running to and fro because some negative things are, you know, they are gathered against me. That's what, when I read that this morning, I said, my Father in heaven, every Christian should read this properly. Say, in the Lord I take refuge. Don't say to me, go and look for your prosperity somewhere. Wherever I will be in life must be the place God created me to be. Please, this is what I'm preaching this season. I have seen people behave as if there is no God. Actually, I was looking for that scripture. It said, the wicked says in his heart, there is no God. Now, it's so easy. Okay, that's actually when I got into that. I wanted to read that. Okay, when he said that the foolish man, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. And something struck me. That you read through the Bible, you hardly find men who said there is no God. Are you getting my point here? Okay, and there were fools there too. And I said, what's going on here? Yes, possible for somebody to say, look, there is no God. And we have a lot of them this modern day. Okay? That's why you go to Europe, you go to these so-called advanced countries, they are all over the place. It's a standard thing in place like Europe. But Ed Coase said, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there is no God. It's living as if there is none. Then something dawned on me. There are practical atheism for Christianity. There are Christians who actually behave like fools and say there is no God. You say, what do you mean, Banky? What do you mean? But they say they are Christians. I'll tell you what I mean. You know, life, you can look at life different ways. You can take it as a whole. The man can say there is no God. But break it to pieces. Many times Christians say, in effect, there is no God. Like I told a friend of mine, said that God is not interested in who is the president in Nigeria. That's a Christian saying there is no God. That in the area of appointing a president, there is no God in Nigeria. Do you get my point? We do that. We make statements. Concerning my destiny, there is no God. I have to plot it myself. There is no God. God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't have a purpose. I can do what I like. That's actually the practical side of it. Very few people, even those who don't believe in him. Like I used to say, former American president. The man will sit down and legislate everything against what the scripture says. And he believes it. And he says, I'm a Christian. Come on, don't deceive me. You are not a Christian. People say, don't judge. I don't know the meaning of the word, don't judge. It means that, don't you judge before you cross the road? Don't you judge before you cross the road? You have to judge whether that car is going to hit you or it's not going to hit you, man. Otherwise, if you don't judge, the car will judge you. Are you getting my point? Come on, we read the scriptures. Let me not digress into that. When Jesus said, don't judge, that was not what he meant. He didn't mean don't critically appraise a situation and have an opinion. He didn't mean that. It means don't pass judgment. Don't tell a man, my enemy, die. That's what he said.
Okay.
Don't pass judgment. Don't condemn people. That's what he was saying. But we're not going to that now. But then that people do things which practically, all right, those things are making statements that there is no God. You want to marry a wife? You sit down and say, God is not in heaven, he's in my village. Because a wife must be somebody that's pleasing to my villagers. You are saying, in effect, there is no God. In practical terms, you are saying there is no God. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. And these are the things that are inside my heart now, and I think Christians should wake up. When I'm talking about the pursuit of God. There is God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We know there is a God, our Father, creator of heaven and the earth, and creator of our souls and all of that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact there is God in every aspect of your life. He is God. The Bible says the very hair of your hair, he numbered them. He didn't count them, he numbered them. There's a difference. He knows which one is number one, number two, number three. To count knows the total number. To number means to know which one is which. Listen to me, there is God. And this God, like we're talking about on Tuesday, we say, let's magnify him. He is God and there is none else. The devil is not God. The president of this country is not God. I don't need to say it again. America is not God. Europe is not God. David said it like that in Psalm 11. He said, in God I have trusted, I have placed my refuge in him. He is my refuge, my fortress. He said, why do you now say to me, flee like a bird to the mountain and go and hide? He said, no, I will hide in God. Listen, the amount of effort we use, listen, I was talking to one brother today. He was telling me about one of his friends who spent 80 years looking for American visa. I didn't find it. Some people got it. Donald Trump canceled it last moment. So the brother was telling me that this guy spent 80 years before he finally gave up. Not as if he got the visa. I've seen a man who spent, I don't know how many years he spent, but he was still spending the years. By the time I left him, those days looking for a British visa. I know people that spent energy. I remember there's a story I tell once in a while about a young man who asked me, well, of course, we're all young that time, but he was my junior. He asked me for counsel. He had paid for visa interview 3 times for the UK visa, all right? And each time that time, it was a whole month's earning to pay. That's how expensive it was. He has spent that energy. And I wonder, if people spend that kind of energy to seek after God, won't they find him? That's what I'm trying to say. If they spend that energy, one of our brothers told me the other day, he said, I've gone for wife back. All right? He said, I'm lodging in a hotel. And that was going to cost him money. He said, I could have gone to somebody's house. He said, I decided to stay in a hotel. He said, after all, when we go for holidays, this is how we spend the money. I don't know whether I'm catching that. He said, when we go for holidays, this is how we spend the money. Why is it that when it comes to hearing the word, we can't spend the money like that? She said, no, let me spend the money. So I'm putting in the energy. I'm going to stay in a hotel, pay, and from there we're coming to hear the word of God for the whole week. Went from the beginning to the end, several times a day, being cooked with God's word. So I told him, I said, congratulations. I said, that's how to open the inner ears. He said, sir, explain. I said, I don't have time. Just know your inner ears have been opened. Later on, of course, what does that mean? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. We used to think that it means that hearing it plenty times. But nobody preached to Abraham many times. God will talk to him once and that's it. You don't have to preach to an unbeliever 100 times before he believes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's not hearing, 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 hearing. Hearing and hearing is a kind of hearing. So Jesus will say, he that has an ear, let him hear. And he's talking to people that have physical ears. What does that tell you? There is another level of hearing that they are not hearing. And Isaiah said it like that. God said to Isaiah, go and deaden the ears of these people. He said, go and render their ears dull. Say to them, hear but do not understand. That second level of hearing is what people don't have. Even though you preach to them again and again, they hear the same message 100 times, it does not penetrate. Why? The inner ear is not opened because of the repetition. You don't force it open by hearing it too many times. Even though for the man whose inner ear is open, the more you hear it, the better for you. Sometimes the repetition is a sign that your inner ear is going to open. It is not the repetition that opens it, but the persistence that opens it. Are you getting my point here? It's not that I've heard it 100 times, faith has reached a high level. No. It's more of, okay, after a while, like one thing, one story, Sunday Adelaja told that time about how to break out of poverty. All right? And he said they did a series of teachings in the church. And a man, now listen to this. A man wanted to hear the messages and the tapes were for sale. So he went and sold the things that he had and bought the tapes. Now listen to me. That was when his inner ear was open. The fact that he sold what he had, that was what opened his inner ear. And then the man began to listen. He said, this man hardly spoke English, yet the messages were in English. But the man was persistent. He sat down there. Within 4 years, the man was a millionaire. Why? Because the word penetrated and entered into him. That day I told my brother, I said, you are opening the inner ear. By that statement you made, when we go on holidays, we blow this money. Why is it that when we want to hear the word, we are reluctant? That's how to open the inner ears. I'm explaining something here. The way people pursue other things, if they look for God like that, they will find him. They will find him. When I say they will find him, it's not as if he's hidden. But listen, there's a way it is. He has to see that the heart really is seeking after him. Listen, with everything that... Listen, let me tell you something. You can be walking with God and you don't know him well. What I'm saying, you're a good Christian, you're going to church, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Call to ministry. How do I know? God called Moses from the time he was young. We don't want to go over that again. Then one day the Lord spoke to him, told him to leave Egypt. Then he left Egypt. 40 years later, the Lord came back to him and began to talk to him. God called him, talked to him, gave him a rod, described everything to him. Then one day Moses looked and God essentially said, Moses, what is the problem? He said, I want to see you. Are you getting my point here? He said, this God I'm describing, let's have a better relationship. God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide you somewhere. I will pass by. You will see my back part. And when God was passing, God began to describe himself to Moses. That is, all this while, Moses did not understand him well. He said to God, show me your ways. Moses, by that time, had dragged the whole of Israel out of Egypt. At that point. And he was here explaining to God, just show me your ways. Show me what you are doing. And later on, David was going to write about it. That he showed his acts to the sons of Israel. but he showed his ways to Moses. That is, it was possible for Moses to deliver those people in the promised land and not know the ways of God, except that he deliberately sought to know the ways of God. I hope you're getting my point here. You see that people, would, look, that's what I'm preaching, that Christians must have a different kind of heart, all right? The kind of heart that pursues things that are real, they are tangible. Like Bishop Oedipo said then that he wanted to know the end. How do you break out of poverty? He took a book and tapes and decided to go and study. And he stayed there. And let listen, the way those men used to do their things those days, he stayed there, that is, just locked themselves inside the room. I said, I'm staying here until I have revelation. There's nobody out there cooking for him. I'm staying here till I have revelation. I've told people who say they are fasting and they are disturbing the whole society with their hunger. Better go and learn, go and eat. I've told you, go and eat. Men who fast, they don't have time for all kinds of frivolosities. They can't say they are fasting and they are watching Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund playing. That is not a fast. You're hungry. When men want to fast, they seclude themselves. Even the Jesus you're talking about, 40 days, there is nobody you saw doing a 40 days fast hanging around anywhere. Moses, 40 days, was on the mountain in the presence of God. Elijah was on his way to a mountain. And Jesus was alone in the wilderness. Not people watching television telling me they are fasting for 40 days. They are keeping up with their programs and they are fasting for 40 days. They are fasting for 40 days, they have gone to women's meeting in church. They are fasting for 40 days, they are going to school, lectures every morning, afternoon. You come on, go and eat. Don't disturb the society. Let's get these things clear. Hunger says absolutely nothing about your spirituality. Nothing. Abstaining from food has no meaning. Unless you are using the effort to concentrate on the word of God and prayer. That's the real fast. I'm explaining the fact that men got up to go and seek after God. And we all seek after things in life. You see the way students seek after success in the exam? Yes, we all know it. Listen, seeking after God is the same thing. The man gets up in the morning, the woman gets up in the morning. Everybody is sleeping. No, wakes up very early. I remember those days when I was doing my last, the last exam in life I had to settle down to sit for. How did I used to read? 9 o'clock I've slept, p.m. And I sleep like that straight till 3 a.m. 3 a.m. I wake up. Everywhere is quiet. The brain is refreshed. And I will sit down and read till morning. I remember one day some of my classmates talked about the fact that they read for 12 hours straight. This was when I was in university. I said, what? A man read for 12 hours straight? I said, me too, I have to do it. Young boy that I was, I got ready. I ate, get everything. I did. I slept. Went to the class when I woke up. I got to class by 3 p.m. and read straight to 3 a.m. with only 2 short breaks. Around there, maybe around 7 p.m., went to get something small to eat. Then sometime around maybe 1 a.m., just take a stroll a bit, stretch your leg a bit. Total break throughout that period, maybe 30 minutes. 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. I did it one time. I said, my God, this is good. I did the second time, I said, it is enough. I just wanted to do it. People said they were reading. They felt like, where are you when people are reading? I still remember. I was studying for my second MB that time. And when I did, I remember when I was going back to the hostel, around 3:30 in the morning, I was tired. My head was feeling woolly, but I was happy with myself. That's called seeking after success in exam. Are you getting my point here? And I'm saying, Christians, listen, we have spent too much energy. Listen, later on we'll get down to it. You'll find out that the major reason God gave us energy is to seek after him. When we seek after him, every other thing they are seeking after will be added. That's it. Everything else will be added. But people don't seek after God. Like I said the other time, they are seeking after how to get God to do things for them. And it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. I'm talking about just seeking to... Listen, we just read about... what's his name now? Enoch. Let's get back there. Genesis chapter 5. It's an Enoch lived 365 years. That's verse 23 that I'm reading now. Walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Emphasis there, he was working in close fellowship. You know, Abraham was called a friend of God. Is he your friend, the person that comes to your house every time to collect something from you? Anytime you see, you know he needs something. There are people who you don't, once your phone rings, you don't want to pick the call. But there are those when they call. I missed the call, I call back. I saw your call, what happened? I just wonder, I've not heard you for some time. Then we'll sit on the phone. Sometimes we just for 30 minutes, 1 hour. At the end of the day, nobody's asking anybody for anything. We are just discussing. We discuss scripture. We discuss life. There are times I remember my wife and I once in a while. We've not seen this man in a while. We'll go and call him. Come, let's go and sit down somewhere. Man, wife, me, my wife. We just sit down. Three sets of us. We just sit down and just be talking and eating. And taking a drink and just sit down till late in the night. It's 11 p.m. Say, let's go home, people. It's getting late. Thank God it's Enugu. We can crawl around at any time of the night. Nobody asks anything from anybody. And you think God doesn't like that idea? I think we have misrepresented him to think that he's a God that anytime he sees us, he's just looking for, any other problem. Is there nothing I can do for you today? One day my wife asked me a question. This was years ago. Just finished a church service. She said, my husband, why is it that every time people get up to speak, they say, no matter what you are going through. He said, must I be going through? Can't I just come to church? Do you know, that was the question that day. She said, must I be going through? Why can't I just be happy? And I come to church. And that's when it dawned on me that if somebody grabs the microphone, it is no matter what you are going through, I want you to know that it's okay because oftentimes people are going through. But that day she said, is that all there is to it? Why can't you just come to church and say, today it's a good day. Let's worship our God. He wants to hear our voices. In the evenings, God used to walk down into the garden to fellowship with Adam and Eve. They did not understand problems the way you and I understand it now. He wasn't coming down to solve problems for them. He was just coming down to interact with them. And in that process, that's one thing. You cannot be in God's presence and his nature does not seep into you. It's not possible. Moses will be in his presence. He will come back thinking he's still normal. That's another thing. Forget the goose pimples, though. What did I say? Am I talking to myself? Am I the only one here? I want everybody to say, I want to be sure you are listening to me. What did I say? Now, what am I bringing out? Forget all these feelings of, that service was powerful. The Holy Spirit was just upon us. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good when it happens. But don't be impressed with that particularly. Why am I saying so? When Moses came from God's presence, he thought it was still normal. It was the effect his presence had on other people that made him know something was out of order. We'll be talking to people, they'll be shielding their faces like this. Why are you shielding your face? I'm talking to you. Sir, looking into your face, you are blinding my eyes. So he thought the first man was joking. So he went to the next person. That one turned his back to talk to Moses. Moses said, I'm talking to you, face me. Sir, I can't face you. Why? There's a radiance on your face that's disturbing my eyes. That is, Moses so absorbed of God, when he came out, he was radiating him. He did not even know he had absorbed anything. It was people that now told him, things are different with you. He now took a veil to cover his face so he could relate with people. These days, I have a lot of disagreements. In fact, today my wife was still telling me, leave these people alone. You belong to church groups and you're talking with people. And they're analyzing matters in the country. And I realized that some of them will think I'm pretending, but I'm not pretending. That's exactly how I feel. I told them, listen, I refuse to cooperate with your negativity. All the things that are going on in Nigeria. People can't eat again. You were telling me just now. I said, people can't eat again. I said, is it new? I've been hearing this story for a very, very long time. Go to America. There are people who can't eat. I'm not joking. People can't eat. It's everywhere. It's in America too. But people will pick those isolated things and blow it up. But for one reason or the other, it has never stuck on me. You can't, look, listen. You can't talk to me and you feel Nigeria is a bad country. Why? That's what I'm talking about. Why? My natural nature? No. It is after you stay in the presence of the Word of God. It infuses an attitude into you. Are you getting my point? That it affects everything you are doing. The way you see things. You can't be in God's presence and it will not affect you. It affects the way you talk. Listen, everything you read in physics and chemistry, that they are spiritual things. If you put iron beside magnet, remove the magnet, then take the iron. If you talk, you put it near another iron, it attracts. Many of the blessings we are looking for in life, God said you can't attract them. There's no divinity inside your soul. That many of the blessings you are looking for in life, you can't attract them. There's no divinity about you. How do you get divinity? Let us sit down in the evening and talk. Not that you have said, God, I have come today for divinity so I can attract blessing. No, you have missed it if you do that. But just be in my presence. What did they used to do? Just used to talk. If I tell you this, surprise you. They will just discuss the garden. Oh, some of us think that God is so God, he doesn't need anybody. Believe me, he likes to talk. Believe me, he likes to interact with his children. Believe me, he likes to discuss creation. This is why I made the stars. And his people will say, is that so? When I made the stars, it was like this. You can see when he was talking to Job, he was quizzing Job concerning his ignorance about creation. What was God saying? If I interact with you, I will give you the knowledge of the principles of creation. If you know the way God is, the Bible says God is love. Love loves to give. He wants to take out of the substance inside him and pass it into somebody. When he found a man, that's what I'm talking about. When he found a man by the name Enoch, believe me, God used to visit Enoch regularly. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Yes. Go and read my tract. Are we all equal before God? Don't even have the impression that God treats everybody equally. No, he doesn't. Jesus did not. It was not every house Jesus went into. How many people could send for him? The Roman centurion. Powerful man, he couldn't send for Jesus. He said, but he did. No, go and check it. It was the rulers, the elders of the Jews, that talked to Jesus and said to him, sir, this man has been good to our people. He's not like the normal Romans that you know. This is a good man. They were the ones that interceded for him. Yet, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were different. Lazarus first sick, they sent a message. The man you love is sick. Come over. I don't know whether you get my point. He knew them differently. They sent a message. Sir, that guy you love, our brother, he's sick. And Jesus said, oh, don't worry about it. The thing is not up unto death. Anytime we'll get there, it's the same day. Don't worry. What I'm bringing out is that he had the relationship with them. That was a house he used to stop to eat. It is striking to me, believe me, that when he had to raise somebody who had been dead for 4 days, it was that man. The only person who was sick, who died, are you getting my point? Beyond compassion, Jesus shed tears for him. Not for him per se, but for the people around, for Mary and for Martha. That's why I wrote in that my tract, are we all equal before God? Potentially, we are all equal. Potentially, we are all equal. And let me just emphasize this. Don't be deceived. The man of God is not special. I don't know whether I get my point. He said, people, so some of these men of God, when God just hears them pray like this, he will just answer. Listen, this preaching is a job. I don't know whether you get my point. I don't know how to explain it. Please don't get it wrong. I'm not going to say that I'm fulfilling my is a profession. I can get up here, preach, get home, and don't talk to the Lord. Yet every time I stand up, he pours an anointing upon me. That when I open my mouth, you will be blessed. But on a personal level, it's a different matter. What am I saying? I'm not preaching something that's for preachers. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I'm not preaching something that's for preachers. I'm preaching that every child of God, the heart, the cry of the heart of God is, come close to me. Let us be friends. When he found a man like that in Enoch, he walked with God. After a while, God said, what are you doing on the earth? Come and stay with me in heaven. You are getting what I'm going to say here. That's what happened to Enoch. He got to a point, God said, what are you still doing on the earth? We've read it many times, but I feel like reading it again. He said, Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. And listen, and Jesus said it clearly, God is looking for somebody's house that he and the Lord Jesus can come and park and stay inside. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him. Then I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. I'm talking about what Christians are supposed to go for. You know, I was listening to this man, Sadhu Selvaraj. That was from him. I first heard it from John G. Lake long ago. Then he was describing Sadhu Sundar Singh. You understand? How when you come to the man's presence, once you just get to his presence, you will feel an aura around him. They said one day the man was walking to Tibet and they never saw him again. Oh yes, they never saw him again. It was a modern experience of Enoch. He was a missionary. He used to go from one place to the other preaching in India, all right? From India to Tibet, just moving around parts of China, just moving up and down. Then one day, the man went on a journey and nobody ever saw him again. They did not see his dead body. They didn't see anything. That was just the last of him they saw. So every time you read his story, they will tell you, born this day, then last seen. That's what they always say. They don't say died. They tell you last seen. Nobody knows when he died. Nobody knows what happened to him. They will just tell you last seen, this particular day. But many people believe that that was a modern day occurrence of this experience. A man walked with God until God took him. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. I'm not emphasizing that is exactly what God is looking for. Somebody who walks with him. Let's get our Christianity away from this one of every time we pray, what need do you have today? Jesus got tired of this need thing. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added to you. That is what we are preaching. Christians, listen, God wants a close relationship with us individually, with each one of us. How do we do it? Simple. First of all, before how we do it, let's not get to how we do it now. First of all, it's just to have that heart desire. Are you getting my point? That what do I want in my life? What's the thing that's most important? I want to walk closely with God. That's all. I'm not trying to succeed in ministry. I'm not trying to succeed in business. I'm not trying to look for health. I'm not looking for money. I just want to walk closely with the Lord. David said, my soul follows hard after you. That's why you find out. When Paul will pray, go and check all the prayers of Paul. Like the one we recite here every time we want to start studying the word of God. What does Paul say? He said, I pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Can you see that? To be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. To bear fruit in every good work. At the end of the day, we're back to it. And then increase in the knowledge of God. When Moses made his request to God, when God answers him, he describes himself to Moses. I am God, the merciful God. That was an experience. I hope you're getting my point here. That is what God wants to do is to have a close relationship with us so that he describes himself to us. We understand him so well. Like when Port Harcourt teaching, which I've taught many times, people talk about the will of God. The will of God is not that God whispers something to you. No. You can hear voices and there are voices of confusion, and it was God that used those voices to talk to somebody. You say, but God is not an author of confusion. Well, go and read your Bible well. He normally is not an author of confusion, but when somebody decides he wants to die, God will give him a voice that will send him to his death. And we have many examples in scripture. Remember a good example, Balaam. Balaam heard God say to him, get up and go. Yet the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled that Balaam went. What does that tell you? God never wanted Balaam to go, even though he was hearing voices. Even though he was an experienced prophet that knew how to discern what he thought was the right voice of God. And we know that God actually spoke to Balaam. But what he discerned was not the will of God. Why? What the man was going after. That's what I'm talking about. What was the primary concern of his heart? The primary concern of his heart was not to know the Lord. The primary concern of his heart was not to become transformed to the image of Christ. The primary concern of his heart is that let me be sure that my prophecies will come to pass so that I can get my pay. That was the primary concern. And that's why I tell Christians today, listen, all these prayers we pray, that is all about filling our pockets. All about, many of the things we do, it's all about filling our pockets with money, getting more money, giving so we can collect extra. We are missing the point. I said something last time, when Jesus makes a statement, let's know where he may put his emphasis. When he said, give, and it shall be given unto you, he never said, give, so it can be given to you. His emphasis was on giving. It was not on the receiving side. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added, his emphasis was not on other things being added. His emphasis was on, don't worry about those things. I will give them to you. Just spend your energy seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The question that, what are you looking for? You know, I like a Franklin song. There's one song he had, so what are you looking for? You know the song? What you're looking for, I'm the one you're looking for. It's a good song. Go and get it. Listen to it. He said, I live for you. I died for you. And I rose up from the dead again. Now I'm asking you, what are you looking for? Most Christians, these days, what are we looking for? When God says, what are you looking for? Lord, you are the God of breakthrough. We have come to you. Listen, and many people came to a church because... This is how to break through without stealing. After all, stealing is risky these days. They might bribe you and find your money. So how do I find money? Let me go to the God of breakthrough. You know, one of our brothers told me something a few days ago. I had a very good laugh. He went for a program. It was great where they were sharing words, you know, intensive word session. So some other brother, they said, oh boy, you came for this program. And this man goes to another church, understand? And it was another church that was organizing this program. Okay, let's just say, let's look for a name. Kingdom Assembly. Okay, let's just say it like that. It's organizing a program, and they are teaching the word for days intensively. So brother A saw brother B there, and brother B is a member of Fire Assembly, something like that. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to hear the word. He said, but your church, you left church to come here. He said, the guy made a statement. I listened to this. Very interesting. You're going to laugh. In fact, when I was going to tell my wife, I told my wife, laugh first. Then I'll tell you the story. And when I told her, she really roared with laughter. The brother said, look, for our church, you know, in their church, they teach all this breakthrough, success, you know, increase, all those methods. He said, in our church, we did learn plenty success. He said, brother, we don't succeed. Now we'll find Jesus. He said, bros, we have succeeded. I have come to look for Christ. That's a man that has insight. He said, oh, that way, pastor, they do it. We thank God for his life. Oh. He said, we have succeeded. Please, let us come. Let's find Jesus. So he felt like going to tell the other brother's pastor, say, Oga, see what your church member is saying. And believe me, these days, especially if you're a preacher, you have to deliberately cultivate the habit of putting Christ at the center of everything. Christ has been displaced extensively in our messages. A lot of our messages have a lot of methods. We have a lot of principles. We have a lot of how to do this, how to get this, how to do that. But you go and read, Paul did not emphasize those things. Because they understood that these are the things that are added. They are not the reasons why God gave us scripture. Like I say to Christians all the time, you want to read all of those things, make sure you're just learning the methods to know what is right. What I'm trying to say is that if it's okay, business success, look, forget business success. What is the right thing to do as a Christian? I've said again and again, success is a gift of God. Christians are supposed to love righteousness. You love righteousness. You love righteousness. As you love and practice righteousness, Ask God for anything, he will do it for you. He said, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. That brother said, listen, we have succeeded. But I like the way he said it. He said, we have succeeded. Let's look for Jesus. While we're succeeding, we didn't find him. While we're making money and using those principles to get things done, we didn't find Christ. He said, now I have seen where Christ is being shown. He's been unveiled. The revelation of his face is being given to us. That is why I have come. And that's what I'm talking about today. Believers, listen, the energy we spend chasing other things, God said, use it to chase me. What about me? There's nothing about me, just me. Just I want to know him. I want to just understand him. I want to know how he reasons. I want to know the kind of God he is. I want to be able to speak like he will speak. Like we're talking about that will of God thing. They asked Paul, what do we do about Christians who are married and are having problems? Paul said, that one, I prayed to the Lord and he said to me, do this. He said, but on the other matters, the ones that are not married, the ones that are single, he said, the Lord didn't see anything, but I am going to give you my opinion. And I know my opinion is one that can be trusted because God has granted me his wisdom. And Paul opened his mouth and he spoke. And today for us is scripture. And why did God not say anything to Paul? I'll tell you. Because he said, Paul, you know me enough. You should be able to talk for me on that matter. That's why he did not say anything. And with all of this, Paul said, what am I still going for? I just want to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what I want to know. And that's what I'm teaching to Christians. Let that be the core thing of your heart. Forget the God of methods, the God of how to succeed, God of breakthrough. You just have to know him, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. Jesus came to reveal him as Father. The Bible says that the only begotten Son, he has revealed him to us. And that's all we are going for. Let's know that God. Like I was saying earlier, you stay in his presence, you become like him without even knowing anything is changing. It's people around you that will tell you, oh boy, you didn't used to be like this. Look at all this country matter that's going on, all this issue, president, is he sick, is he not sick, and all of that. I have noticed that people have tried to get me to say things, they just can't come out of my mouth. I said, that is not a godly way to talk, I'm sorry. Listen to me. Believers, I'm saying to you, the time has come for us to remove every other thing from our hearts as the reason for which we are doing things. It's time to just seek God because he's God. And I'm saying to you today, he wants that. He wants that. He wants you to take your money, your time, go somewhere, say, where are you going? I've seen where Jesus has been described. I want to go and sit down and listen to the description of Jesus for 1 week. What are you going to bring from there? I don't know. Beyond the fact that I will know him more than before, nothing. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord wants people who reason like that, who think like him. It's when we have become, that is when we have that kind of, I was saying to you earlier, attitude. When that is our goal, that is our focus. You understand? That's what now decides. I was trying to explain that earlier. Whether we're in the will of God we are or we are not. All these principles for knowing God's will, believe me, they really don't tell you the will of God. People will say, pray until your spirit is silent. Then a voice will speak to you. It doesn't tell you the will of God. It doesn't. An angel appearing to you does not tell you the will of God. Balaam heard a voice. Doesn't mean it's the will of God. What decides whether you will hear what is really the will of God or not is what you are focused upon. Let me say that to you again. What decides whether you will hear the will of God or you will not is what your eyes are locked on. I was talking about Balaam. Balaam's eyes were locked on gain, the reward of divination. Even though he had the best methods existing on the earth for contacting the realm of the spirit, because you understand that men that time, even till now, they know how to see things in the realm of the spirit. There are different ways. I don't want to go into explain some of those things. They knew this kind of sacrifices to utter. You see Balaam. Balaam said, let's go to this corner. Now, give me 7 bulls. Give me 7 goats, 7 bullocks. Slaughter them here. Then he will wait. Look, those were techniques men learned. You will see a man like Elisha will say, bring me a minstrel. Are you getting my point? Let him begin to play. They knew how to move evil spirits away by playing certain kinds of music. So that when an evil spirit will come upon Saul, David knew the keys to strike and the thing will go away. Men knew some of these things. Yet, because the eyes were locked in the wrong place, with the depth of knowledge that Balaam had concerning those things. I told you that day, Balaam, when the donkey was talking to him, he did not run like we used to joke that this man should have run. He should have known there was a problem. He didn't run because he had heard snakes before. Crickets had brought him news. No, read your Bible. The Bible will tell that the birds of the air will hear it and go and report. Those things are literal. Birds had heard news and given to Balaam. That's why he didn't run. Yet that man, with all the knowledge of spiritual things, how to get the voice of God out. And God said, good, this man knows how to talk, to listen. So he talks to him. Yet he could not discern the will of God. Why? His eyes were locked on something else. So that when he got there, they said, how do we curse these people? He said, their God hasn't cursed them. He tried everything. He said, look, Balak, I told you before it won't work. Let's forget it. But because his eyes were locked on something, he called Balak to the side. He said, Balak, this is how to do it. He gave the man the trick, how to manipulate the spiritual atmosphere so that God would be angry with the people of Israel. And he succeeded. That tells you he was not subject to the will of God. Yet he was hearing voices. Forget voices. Oh. People have told me all kinds of things. Now when I see the way the country is going now, I knew that it was God that told me to leave. I said, oh foolish Galatian. You are looking for comfort. You found it. You're not saying God told you to leave. Comfort told you to leave. Yes, it did. But if a man says, if a woman says, listen, what am I looking for? In this life, I want to know God no matter what it will take. That is when the Holy Spirit can tell you, okay, park. Go to this place. He gets there. Stay here until I tell you to move again. What is in this place? Don't worry. And leave takes a man like Abraham. Takes him away from where society was developed and say, go and pitch a tent. We are going somewhere great. And for many decades, he was walking with God from one place to another. Those are the people that know when God is talking to them. If your eyes are locked on something that is wrong, no matter how much you refine your ability to discern spiritual things, you can never know the true thing that God wants to say to you. That's what I'm preaching today. I'm saying, Christians, be like what? Enoch. Like who? Enoch. Being Enoch, listen, like that's why I emphasize something there. The Bible says to us clearly, Enoch had sons and daughters. For me, that means that Enoch was a normal person. Enoch was not an ascetic. He was not practicing asceticism. Somebody like Sadhu Sundar Singh was practicing asceticism. Yeah, well, he did, you know, it's not a sin, but what happened is that he wanted to present, that's just a digression, he wanted to present the gospel. All right. He said that Indians were resistant to the gospel because you had to take the gospel with the culture of the white man, with the European. Are you getting my point? So Europeans came with the gospel. You took gospel and Europe. You get my point? You took gospel and Britain with it. So the man said, but Jesus is not British. Jesus is just Jesus. So what do? We have to present Jesus in a local language. For that reason, he became a sadhu. Because their holy men were sadhus, wearing a pink robe and going around, you know, going around. He said, just to show them that, look, Christianity is not a Western religion. Christ is king everywhere. But my emphasis is that you don't have to be like him to have a close walk with God. Because Enoch was not like that. Enoch married. He has sons and daughters. Enoch was a student. Are you getting my point? I'm qualifying it now. Enoch was a worker. Enoch was a governor. Enoch was a businessman. Enoch could have been anybody. Enoch was a woman with her children and her husband. Yet had a close walk with God so that a day came, God said, look, let me have this guy. You guys have other people on this earth here with you. And listen to me, God doesn't find many people like that. He doesn't find many people. And what I'm doing today is letting Christians know that that is the primary thing he wants from you. He said, if it's blessing, I can bless. Oh God, I hope you understand what I'm saying. This one that you pray all night for blessing, God said, I don't like it. Let me say that to you. The Lord is saying, I don't like it. You make it look like blessing is a difficult thing. You make it look like blessing is something that, you know, we need to strive and strive. And until we persuade God, we can't get it. You make it look like if I don't see your money, I can't multiply it. You make it look like I am not the owner of all things. You make it look like as if I don't like you. I'm not kind to you. Until I see you cry and suffer, I won't give you anything. So that's the impression you are creating. If the angels did not know me independent of you, they would have a wrong impression of the kind of God that I am. Why? If you need 200 naira, that's 200 minutes of prayer. You create a wrong impression of the kind of father that I am, and I don't like it. I don't like it. If you must stay up all night, take a sheet of paper, take a notebook, stay up all night and talk to me. I hope you are getting my point here. Yes. Talk to me. Say, Lord, I don't understand you enough. We prayed for this country. Things are not working the way we said they should work. What is happening? Then he leads you to pick a book and read, and you get some understanding. He leads you to pick a message and listen to you. Get some understanding. Or right there and there, a voice comes into your heart and it gives you a sentence. And you hold on to that sentence. As you are reading the scriptures, through it, you are discovering what God is exactly like. That's the whole night meditation. You spend half of the time worshiping and thanking him. And in the morning, you give thanks. When everybody else is waking up, you go and take 2 hours of sleep before you go about for the day. Why were you up all night? Oh, I was just, listen, that's what it means. I was just fellowshipping with the Lord. I was learning his ways, his mind, the way he thinks. I was sitting in his presence. You do like that for years, you will talk. People will know that Ahithophel is speaking. I don't know what you're getting my point here. The wisdom with which you will speak will be different. But when you spend all night trying to say, God, today you will finish my enemies. At the end of everything, you are just as bad as those enemies. There's nothing different. Like I tell my people, and you've heard me say it. I say, like in Nigeria of today, it's easy to know you have not been working with God. It's very easy. Just hear your comments. Once it's identical to the one you heard the bus conductor say, identical to the one you heard the man selling booze say, identical to the one you heard on radio, all those discussion people, back of Guardian, back of This Day, back of Punch, you know those back people? Back all those back page people? Are you getting my point? They are as ignorant as you, just that they are the editors, they must write something. Are you getting my point? You read all of these things, and you're just echoing their opinion. One of my friends, a Christian, wrote something today. You know, I read it on chat. I'm going to tell him afterwards. And I'm going to tell him, I said, my brother, everything you have said, your analysis, your breakdown of everything is what I hear on the street every day. How are you different? How are you different? What you have said to me now is what I hear on the street every day. How are you different? They talk on Biafra matter, you talk exactly like Nnamdi Kanu. How are you different? They talk on a president is sick matter, you talk exactly like a PDP member. How are you different? PDP is even good. You know that thing I said on Tuesday? That Christians should have taken a day and called for prayer for the president. PDP did it the next day. Yes. Did he pay me? What Christians were supposed to do, PDP did. You want to know whether you have not been working with God? That's what I'm making. Just hear your own opinion on everything that's going on around. Then you know you have not been working with the Lord. You have been working with the newspapers. You have been working with the radio commentators. You have been working with television stations. You have not been working with the Lord. I remember those who were in Lagos. Our pastor used to preach one way. Then one day he came to church and said, I realized that I was becoming a Nadeko prophet. How many people remember Nadeko? Nadeko, they were the ones that fought for democracy under Abacha. Bola Tinubu was a Nadeko chieftain. Many of them were killed. Rewani, he was the one funding Nadeko. He was a very, very rich Nigerian. You understand? No, they were hunting them up and down. There was one man that they tried to kill some. You know, there are people that God said you will not kill. Point blank, shot, missed. One man they went to kill in the mid, somewhere in around Makurdi. The people were disagreeing on who would shoot him when the man left. No, Bola Tinubu will tell you that he dressed like a woman to escape from Nigeria. And he was in a neighboring African country. When they came to catch him there, he just went out to go and buy something or make a call. On his way back, he noticed that the receptionist was looking like at him straight as he was approaching. I'm talking to some men. He got the point. He disappeared. That's how he became Bola Tinubu that you know. Nadeko chieftain. So when democracy restarted, they came back. So that day I was in church, my pastor said, listen, I wasn't there, but they told me because I traveled. My pastor came to church and said, I realized I was becoming a Nadeko prophet. So what's the solution? He said, I'm not reading newspapers for now. So he took himself off newspapers. Why? He said, interacting with these pages have turned me to a Nadeko prophet. When I open my mouth to speak, I am speaking like another angry man in Lagos. Listen, let's talk about our country for a moment. The country will not change because you are angry. The country will not change because you are complaining. That's what my classmates were accusing me of. That I might say they can't say anything negative about the government. I want to tell them that when you have finished saying it, what will you achieve? You say it to yourself, you say it to me. You vent. Are you getting my point? All you are doing is venting. Releasing negative vibes. Crippling the hands of the president. He can't do anything. Anybody wants to do anything, we use negative emissions from our soul to cripple his hands. When he does a little bit of good, we look for an ulterior motive. If he doesn't do it, we criticize him. At the end of the day, you have to respect anybody that agrees to lead. The forces they are fighting, I don't mean the occultic forces, I mean the evil spirits inside bus conductor, professors, doctors, teachers, housewives, newspaper, you know, sportsmen, Biafrans, thank you. The negative vibes coming out of our souls is such that people cannot do anything even if they wanted to. I told Christians something before, they think I'm joking. As at now, the way Nigerians behave, if Jesus were to rule, he could do nothing. You say, can't Jesus give us uninterrupted power supply? I said, impossible. Jesus couldn't do it. If Jesus comes down, wears a suit, campaigns, we vote for him, then he splits himself into two. And one, the other half becomes the power minister. You understand? We cannot have uninterrupted power supply. It is not possible. It is not within his capacities. I wanted to finish wondering what I smoked. Making that statement, yes. Don't ever forget it. Why could he not do it? The Bible says when he got to his own hometown, his country, he could not do any mighty work. What was the reason? Because of their unbelief. Now, please get my point here. The statements I made, I'm not joking about it though. Am I saying Jesus doesn't have power? That's the problem. People don't know him enough to know how he operates. That's the problem. They don't. You read the Bible says he came to his hometown. He wanted to do good, mighty works there. He could not do it. Why? He said he marveled at their unbelief. The unbelief in Nigeria right now is such that no matter how good the head of state is, he can't do anything. If Jesus couldn't do it, who is he? No, please, I want you to learn. I'm telling you spiritual principles. You sit down and be pointing fingers. You are unbelievers, Nigerians. Jesus doesn't work miracles when everybody is staring at him with unbelief. That's why I tell Christians, contribute faith. That's why I tell believers, contribute faith. Your leaders cannot do anything if they don't have faith radiating in the environment. Your leaders can't do anything. One day was in Gigate, and who came here? To Enugu. I felt sorry for them. Nobody believed anything Gigate had to say. Nobody. Nothing. People came to the town hall meeting with venom. Listen to me. If it was Jesus, he will carry all his miracles and go to the next city and do it there. That is, Ngige will live here, walk across to Delta, Edo State, and bless them. And people will say, he did not do it in his own hometown. He said, when I went there, all I met was what? Unbelief. They will continue the criticism. He couldn't, he came to, but was that not what happened to Jesus? They said, the thing we heard you did in Abuja, the thing you heard you did in this particular place, come and do it here. And he was looking at them.
They say, you say you heal the sick. This woman is sick. This man is sick. He was looking at them. He said, see me, TV, we've been hearing news of you. You went to Capernaum. You went to where now? Even, Bethsaida, Chorazin, all those places. You went there. We saw you. We heard the news. They said, there's one woman. Her only son died. They were carrying him past. You touched the casket. The boy got up. Is it true? Jesus, is it true? The chair you did for me, when you were a carpenter, is still in my house. I'm not using it. You are telling me you raised the dead. Okay, there's no problem. Down the road, one woman died this morning. Jesus, come, let's go. If you can raise that woman, I will believe in you. And that's the chair that is not good, that I say I don't like, I will start using it today. Ever since you were in carpentry, I kept that chair waiting for when you will come back. Now, for your information, the chair was good. It was the man that was bad. And when, no matter... No, Jesus cannot do chair for you to be bad. You understand my point? No matter what you do for a bad man, his eyes are bad. He will see bad in it. Yes. Just to tell you how Nigerians behave, a friend of mine is a gastroenterologist. We're talking about Nigerians' attitude to Nigeria. He said something. That a man had what we doctors call polyps, all right, inside the intestine. He said, Banky, I spent 4 hours. He said, normally when I check people's intestines, it takes me like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He said, this man's when I spent 4 hours removing all the polyps inside. He said, he insisted on going to India still. He said, when he got to India, they told him there's nothing more to do for you. Now, listen to me. The man paid his way to go to India, paid the hospital there. They checked him, said there's nothing more to do. He said, do you notice today the man has not paid me? He could pay the flight ticket. When we're talking about unbelief, please, let me tell you, from today, feel sorry for the head of state. When you see him, you know why he's sick. I'm not joking. I've told you before. I pray for him regularly. When I remember him, but God, please, let health be upon him. I don't want him to even die now because the punishment for Christians will be excessive. Because God will hold them. And listen to me. What do you know? Pastor Corey said that they don't know. That if this man dies, they will reap what they are sowing. That's a man pastoring in Sokoto. He said if the head of state dies, hear me, Christians will reap what they sowed. Just like I said, he said, why could don't can call a prayer meeting? He said, just one day for the head of state. It's PDP that's doing it. He said, shame. All of us should just say, shame, shame, shame on us. You know, it's true. Go and read Daniel. No, the confession, we need to pray. Even those of us that think we have light, go and pray and confess sin as if you are the one sinning on the behalf of the body of Christ. I know what I'm telling you. When else you see the head of state, feel sorry for him. Because the unbelief in the environment is bad. Jesus healed somebody and said, don't go into that city. He appeared to Kenneth Hagin. And took it again. Do you know why I said so? He said if he had gone in there, the unbelief there would have returned him to his blindness. He said, for me to pray for the man, I took him by the hand and we walked out of the city. Ken Hagin said, the Lord told him that, listen, environmental unction is very important. I was talking to my classmates today. I made a point just like this. I said, guys, you released... They said, what's my problem? Am I a Buhari Din? That's what they call people like me. I said, call me whatever you like. But I refuse to join your negativism. One of them now made a joke and said, okay, you are telling us that negativism is why the other governments before now have not succeeded. Not that they are clueless or stupid or ignorant or inefficient. I told the lady, it was the lady that said that. I said, have you noticed? If since 1960, all your leaders are bad, you should tell there's something in the environment that's making them bad. If over 50 years you have not been able to produce credible leaders, that tells you it's not the person, it's the environment. And I tell Christians all the time, you have a duty, you have a responsibility. Contribute some faith. Do you know a lot of people? Poverty, let me tell you how you sow a seed for your own poverty. When you are angry for the people you think are rich, against the people who are rich, who are making investments, you are begging to be poor permanently. They told me the other day that Dangote wants to open a tire factory. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, he will succeed. the fallout from that is refinery. All right? You can't. If you're talking about job provision, that guy is contributing nothing less than 200,000 jobs, directly and indirectly. The value chain down the line. Including people who will be selling the charge card on the road. Let's not talk about the value of the land that he's, that's already there. And he's doing it in Lagos, not doing it in Kano. I now heard that he wants to build a tire factory. I said, Father, I started in my mind, I said, God, he will do it. This man, he will not die. You know, some people, you know what? One day I said he was building a refinery. I was talking to some people that if he finishes, one third of our forex need will vanish. You know what somebody said? Eh? You mean we are still going to be in bondage to this man? That was a man's response. You don't know what they call unbelief. It's a spiritual principle. I'm talking about how unbelief cripples things. That's what I'm talking about. Unbelief. Why Christians need to contribute faith. What if you are wrong? At least you tried. Do you know that if doctors treat your patients and the person dies, you still pay the bills? Why? They tried. If Udechukwu repairs your car, it's not working. That's why you go to look at him. He's afraid to give you a bill. He's a motor mechanic. But doctor treats your patient. When you come, where's mama? Ah, sorry, oh, but she died this morning. Sorry. Meanwhile, the bill is 1.5 million for all the things I would eat. Yes, yes. You can't carry your grandmother if you don't pay the bill. Meanwhile, she's dead. And when you took her in, she was not too sick. Oh. She just complained that one leg was paining her small. And all of you had to do x-ray. They said the hip is one. Case. Okay, let's try whether I can do hip replacement. And then she died. They will give you the bill before you collect the dead body. Why? They said, we care. God cures. We are charging you for care. The cure is between you and God. Is that not what they say? We care. God cures. So our bill is for the caring. As for the curing, ask God why he let your grandmother die. This one, that's not our problem. Now, what am I not going to say? As Christians, at least contribute what? Faith. Let it be that you contributed faith. Let it be that you contributed faith. Let it be. No, I was talking to somebody last time I went to Port Harcourt. The woman sent me a mail before, one of our co-workers there. And she told me that the investment she needed to make was a lot of money. And that Port Harcourt was too scattered. Actually, it was at the gist that one of them came to Enugu for a holiday. And you know, Enugu is a beautiful city. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Apostle was praying this morning. He said, let's thank God. It's not the police, it is God. But it's God, it's not human beings. Anyway, they came to Enugu. So by the time they got back to Port Harcourt, it was like, ah, guys, have you gone to Enugu? Hey, have you gone to Enugu? See people walking on the road. We even saw white people walking on the road. Hey. So the lady asked me and said that she's been thinking because of the business they do, they're about to make some massive investment. That is it worth it? Nah, I'm going somewhere. You see where I'm going? So when I got talking, I said, listen. I said, God wants to redeem everywhere. That when we came to Enugu, it wasn't like this. Enugu was a troublesome place. When I wanted to buy my car then, when I wanted to buy what they call a V-boot, Mercedes-Benz, used one, of course. They said that armed robbers like it. I said, I like it too. That makes two of us. I remember that was my statement. I said, me too, I like it. So what they meant was that armed robber, we want to steal it from. I said, me too, I like it. I said, because they were not sent to this city, I was sent. God will displace them so I can drive my car. So this is the point I'm making, right? So I told the person, listen, Enugu was not always this cool. That we stayed here and we continue to pray. And God has been kind to us. I said, God wants to redeem everywhere. You cannot run away from Port Harcourt because of the trouble. I said, the trouble will pass. And that's, this is the statement I'm making. I said, that your investment is your digging. Now, what do I mean? Normally, when soldiers get to a place, they dig trenches. So they are said to have, they dig themselves in. A place to hang, you know, your weapons, a place to hide, a place to, you know, you dig in. Are you getting my point? I said, for you to pray effectively in a place, you have to have something that's tying you there. That's why when you see Nigerians, like one of my brothers say, find a place to go, be praying for your home country. You know, those prayers are not effective. You run to London, you hide there, tell me you are praying for Nigeria. You can't, you are not wicked, you just can't pray. I don't know whether you get my point. You are not wicked, you just can't pray. Your son is not in a vehicle going from here to Lagos. You can't pray. If I put my children in a vehicle, they are going from here to Lagos. And I hear the Christ of nature. You know the kind of prayer I'll pray? I will, by the time I finish praying, angels will say, so that there will be peace, they will carry them by hand, fly them over on nature. I'm telling you. Because if I hit the floor, no riot again. No riot. Easy now, Pastor. Take it easy. But if I hear that the man is shooting on the streets of Paris, I say, oh, Boko Haram in Paris. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help them. Help them, Father God. Father, let peace. You are the God of the whole earth, including in Paris. Hallelujah. Baby, no, don't fry the plantain too much. I'm coming. I'm praying. In the name of Jesus. That's what you go do. That is how you will, no, that's how you pray now. That's how you pray. So I said, look, listen, everybody needs to, I tell the parents, listen, that's the degree. I said, invest your money in the land. Don't worry. Somebody says, what if you lose it? It's just money. Hey, I wish you would just understand. It's just money. But at least you contributed faith. That's what I'm talking about. You lost money, but at least you contributed faith. People have shouted, country, dividing. Listen, build a house. Where am I building it? In Enugu. I don't care that you say that, yeah, you're from Ondo State. I don't care. I don't care. And what if there's trouble and then you have to, is it not just a building? Is it not just money? But like I tell people, there are things you do so you can pray. I tell those people that bypass Nepal, you know, Nepal build, you know, shut your mouth when they are praying for power in this country. Your power, your prayer is ineffective. You bypass, what they call it? Your air conditioner. You bypass it. So you'll be paying Nepal for light and fan. Then your heater and AC. You of course, you don't forget you're a thief. Let's use the proper word. In the industry, they call you energy thief. The term in industry is energy theft. So you're a thief? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Apart from the fact that you're a criminal, let's leave that out. The point now is that you can't pray again. When we ask Lord, Father, we need constant power in the country. You can't pray. You have removed the ability to utter words. You don't have it anymore. So there are things we endure. Not because we are so righteous, but we love our prayer time. Are you getting my point? We want to be able to pray and say, Lord, help our country. When we say it, let it be that we don't have any other thing. Are you getting my point? That where a man's treasure is, there's a heart will be also. Spiritually, we are speaking now. When you are dogging into a particular place, look, you will pray and say, God, I have labored with your time, with your money, and I have planted it here. This is where I'm occupied. When you pray, if wicked misbehaves, are you getting my point? God will kick him off the throne. That is, the governor misjives, God will knock him off. That's what I'm telling Christians. Contribute faith. Contribute faith. Get up and contribute faith into the environment. Don't talk like people. If your talk is the same as the average commentator, the bus driver, the man in your office, the drunk man down in that place, you have not fellowship with the Lord. You are not speaking for heaven. Those that are with the Lord are unique. They are different. They talk differently. Their faces radiate in a different manner. Let me tell you something. If we don't have enough people doing it for a country, the country will never go anywhere. If we don't have enough people doing it for a region, they will never go anywhere. They will continue to grumble and whine and complain. And when everything disintegrates, they will say, we said so. And God will say, yes, you said so. And the devil will say, yes, you said so. In fact, I needed you to say so. Because without your saying so, I would not have been able to wreck your life like this. Thank you for working with me, your own destruction. And you'll become old, I'll be telling a story. We said it that time in 2016. They did not listen to us. The Nigerian needs restructuring. And then right now, God said, look at the fool. He's an old fool now. He's still saying the same thing. He has learned nothing. That's why I had a long battle with my colleagues since yesterday. They called me names. I told one of them, I said, you know. I said, you can't testify. I did not vote for this president. I said, but at least as a Christian, they have duties. One of them said, somebody has to earn your support and your respect. I said, that's where you miss the point. I said, by virtue of offices and the duties of a citizen, you start with support and respect. Let the person lose it. They don't have to earn it. I have only 4 years in office. How long will it take me to earn your respect and your support? By that time, my term is office over. Like I said to Christians, just contribute some faith. Just wake up in the morning and say, today, I want to contribute faith. A policeman may have annoyed you in previous times. Today, just stop by. You see a patrol vehicle, they are parked. Officers, how are you people doing? Good morning. One day, was it, who was it that told me this now? Say he had a real showdown with a policeman. And the man looked at him and said, tell the truth. If I was not wearing this uniform, will you talk to me like this? I'm older than you. Let's be honest. Wearing up for this uniform, will you talk to me like this? Are you getting my point? One day too, I had a, they annoyed me there. I packed, I walked back. I said, guys, I was the one that was quarreling with you just now. I just came to apologize. I explained myself again that you guys made a mistake. This also happened, I want to tell you I'm very sorry. The younger one looked at me and said, you must be a Christian. So somebody said something once that it's very easy to every time quarrel with the bus conductor in Lagos. He said, but do you realize nobody says anything good to him in a whole day? Think about it. And you want him to behave well. A whole day, it is fight. Quarrel. And you think he will behave well. You see, he deserves what he's getting. I agreed, but let him not get it from you. Let it be that somebody different spoke to him today. Let it be that somebody different spoke to him. And you enter the bus and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh boy, you're a hustler. How is everything? You pay. It's supposed to be 200 naira. You give him 500 naira. Just leave your change for him, for goodness sake. One of my classmates analyzed something the other day. I never saw it like that. He showed how much work a water seller in traffic has to do to make 50 naira. And I said, but you give that to a beggar at a time. He said, next time, give it to the person who's hustling. Wow. That he did a calculation that it's a human head shouldn't repeat it. That if they set this amount, all right, for the amount of markup per bag, it takes like 4 hours to earn 100 naira or less. You know, these beggars do that in 5 minutes. So the person said, look, next time, leave the change for the fellow who's hustling. And like I always say, what you reward is what you encourage. You give the beggar so much money, you encourage every young man to beg. I like what my wife used to do those days. All these boys that carry wheelbarrow in the market, you know, when she used to go to market. What she pays has nothing to do with what they charge. Just look at the boy. You've been a good boy today. Deep hand in the pocket, give the boy money. The boy will look and look at her. And anytime you are coming, just look for me. And what is the reason? That this boy could be in traffic cleaning glass. He could have joined a gang causing trouble. But he chose to go and hire a wheelbarrow. You know they hire those barrows?
Yes.
He chose to go and hire a barrow and hustle from morning till evening. Let's reward that. Let's be good. Listen, that's what I'm teaching. Christians who have related with the Lord, they relate to, they behave differently. They behave differently. But the problem is that everybody, listen, let me just, everybody thinks the country is to be milked. And they point fingers at the politicians. And you know one reason why God has not done the judgment people have been asking for? Even people like me prayed for before. Because the bank, you forget that thing. If I try, I will kill your gate man. Look, forget these things. I will go to your office and eradicate everybody. So you they shout, but if you say, listen, most people, the people who work the least, I'm sorry if you're a civil servant, I don't have you in mind, I don't know you, me and you work in the same office, so don't worry about it, all right? Talking about ourselves, they are the ones that work the least. and cut their salary by 10 couple they're on strike. How many private people can go on strike? As they strike, so not come back. They just from there go. But listen, the federal government worker earns more than most of them, works less than half what they work for, the amount of work they do, yet cut his salary by 5,000 naira. Then he tells you the politicians are stealing. And God is laughing. That proportionally, you've stolen more. Baba God is just laughing. Say, you are talking. You have stolen more than the other people. With the money they are paying, tell him, okay, I'm here to do passport. How much? That is, they must put something on top of it. Meanwhile, she's earning more than the private sector person. Working less, yet is the one collecting all the bribes. Listen, I'm preaching the fact that it is only me and you, people who know the truth of God, that can change things. That's what I'm preaching. Most people, the way they want to use the country is how they want to use God too. Yes. That is why they give him 5,000 naira. And if he doesn't give half a million naira, he's not God. Now fight. The same way they are using everything is the same way they want to use God. So that if they do something small for him, they go to church in the morning, God must bless them by evening. And if he doesn't bless them by evening, they are wondering, God, you know, I could have gone to the mosque. I came to your church. I know what my friends are doing in party right now. You know that I'm following you about, you know? I'm keeping myself, God, you see, oh. I know what my friends are doing. They are following sugar daddy now, making a lot of money. Which one you know they? I want good husband, plenty children, as reward for this my years of righteousness. And God is looking. So, okay, if you do iniquity, oh yeah, go and do it. Then, but if you call me in the time of your distress, if I hear my name, sign here that you will not call me. I say, God, I don't mean it like that. I'm just trying to say that produce now. That's how people treat God. Oh, God, that's what we are doing. And we pastors, too, we like to preach it like that. Because when you promise people reward, they will walk. I thank God. That's one thing I refuse to do. I refuse to do it. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to serve him, please go home. No. If you want to serve him, serve him. If you don't want to serve him, go home. I'm not going to promise you anything that he didn't promise. Even if he did, I won't tell you ahead so that your service can be pure. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But all of this will not be a problem if we are just pursuing after God. We just want to know him. We want him to know us. We want to interact with him. We want his life to seep into us. Maybe next time I talk more about that faith matter. When we have done that, when we have been with him, when we speak on matters, believe me, people will know that God spoke. Listen, I said something before. The knowledge of God is not intellectual knowledge. It's spiritual endowment. It was after God revealed himself as a merciful God that Moses could stay his hand in judgment when he wanted to kill the Israelites. When God said, I'm God the merciful, next time he wanted to talk, he said, you are the merciful God. God, that is, he paused. Oh, please go and listen to our series again, Seven Names of God. Calling God all kinds of Hebrew names won't get you anything. Listen, there's a name you call. Give me a minute. Let me just explain. You're laughing, but I know what I'm saying. Read the scriptures. Eh? The names you call the names of God now. Those men that called him by that name, nobody told them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Abraham got there. The Lord gave him a ram to replace this thing. And he called the name Jehovah Jireh. I don't know whether you're getting my point. These were names they discovered from personally working with him. They didn't read it somewhere. These were names that women discovered from working with the Lord. But once they got that name, are you getting my point? Every time they uttered it after, the God that showed up with power. If after that time, Abraham says, what do we need? 1 million goats. And he says, Jehovah Jireh. 1 million goats will start rushing in from the desert. I hope you're getting my point here. For that reason, the primary drive of my life, all right, shouldn't be goats, deliverance. No, he said, God, let me know you. Let me see your face. Let me know you. Paul said, I wanted to know him and the power of his resurrection. That is, if I know God, I will discover how to rise up again from the dead. That's what he was saying. Look, I'm watching my time. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just say, Father, thank you for truth. And then say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. He said, Enoch walks with God. He had a close fellowship with God. One day, he suddenly disappeared. Nobody saw Enoch anymore. One day, Enoch just vanished. Because God liked him so much, he said, Enoch, from now on, you will stay with me. Say, Lord, I need that relationship. I need it. Say to him, Lord, I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need that relationship. I need that relationship. Ah, I need that relationship. I need that relationship. I need it. That's what I want. That is my goal. Whew. I need that relationship. Say, Lord, that's what I need. Look, those that have been praying for, Lord, let's suspend them for now. Let's suspend them for now. Now, what am I asking for? I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want us to take steps together. I want us to walk in tandem in the garden. I want us to have a relationship. I want to become exactly like you. I want to become exactly like you. I want to be exactly like you. Say, Lord, that is what I need now. That's what I need now. And that is what I'm asking for. Let's pray like Paul. Say, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will. Enough spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that I will walk in a manner worthy of you. To please you in all respects. To bear fruit in every good work. And increase in the knowledge of God. What we are doing as Christians is that even in the work we are walking. In the work we are working for him. It is to increase the knowledge of God. I told you last year, I saw the way of my Father. I saw some things about God. I learned to pray. Anything I want now is prayer. It's not prayer. There's no scheming. It's just prayer. There's no scheming. Say, Lord, that's what I need. That is what I need. In the name of Jesus Christ.